please, for our first reading, Psalm 103. Psalm 103, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. A psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. For as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone. And the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. A psalm of David. We know not exactly when David wrote this psalm. Generally speaking, probably in the days of his triumph, in the days when there were no particular enemies chasing him or pursuing him. But it is difficult to tell. There is talk of the weakness of men, and of course David was such a one who knew, who understood that weakness. All right, so in the first section I have that as verses 1 through 5. David calls upon his soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. In Hebrew, that is the word nephesh. The word nephesh means not just the soul. I mean, we think of it quite often in terms of inner man, outer man. The soul is the inner man, and the body is the outer man. To the Hebrew mindset, however, the soul most often meant the entirety of the man. Everything. Inner and outer. Sometimes the word soul ought to be translated life. Life. In the, you know, out of the Hebrew, that's the semantic range that it carries. And so what David is asking for here, or what David is requiring, is that his whole self would bless God's holy name. That it might be manifested not only in his inner man, but in his outer man. And we've talked about that before. We understand that as a part of our worship, that when, you know, we stand up at certain times and sit down at certain times, and different people have different viewpoints on when in a worship service we ought to stand and sit. It is, it is not particular in Scripture. There are times when, during the reading of Scripture, sometimes we see people standing, and so there are churches that do that. Other times during the reading of Scripture, we see in Scripture that there is a sitting when it comes time to hear the Word of God. And that is, of course, would be based on sitting down as an act of submission to that which you're hearing. It really is not important, the particular aspect, but the why. When we say, "Let all that is within me bless His holy name," we want to make sure that we're manifesting in our outer man as well as our inner man, that we are praising and blessing and speaking well of and extolling the virtues of God Himself. All of these things are very, very important. So, let all that is within me bless His holy name. It is not enough to come and stand and sit at the right times. But standing and sitting at the right times are things we ought to be doing. But not that only. It's our inner man and our outer man. All right, so then the Lord is to be blessed like no other. We cannot offer the same kind of blessing or praise to anyone that we offer to the Lord. That would be idolatry. And so the Lord ought to occupy a very unique place in our eulogizing, right? Eulogizing meaning to speak well of someone. All right, so then in verses 6 through 17, really, there are also some things there in the Lord. He forgives our iniquities. He redeems our life from destruction. He crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. He satisfies our mouth with good things, that our youth is renewed like the eagles. And so if you notice there in verses 3 through 5, David speaks of the blessings that we receive from God, that they are whole person blessings. And so our praise ought to be whole person praise. Inner man and outer man are both blessed by God. And so inner man and outer man ought to be involved in the blessing of God. Verses 6 through 17, we note the Lord's works. In His judgments is a knowledge of the Bible here in writing Psalm 103. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. And this is important because sometimes we think that He has. Let us remember that the chastisements that we may receive may indeed be on account of our sins, on account of our iniquities, but we are never rewarded according to our iniquities and according to our sins. There is a distinction there that that David is making. We have read many Psalms by David. We know that David was acquainted with chastisement, that David was acquainted with being chastised even for his sins. But even in that chastisement, David's confession is what? That it is not according to our sins, nor according to our iniquities. In other words, not according to what we truly deserve. And so David makes that very clear here in this passage. He speaks about the Lord's mercy and His grace, that He is slow to anger, and so on. Now, remember this, that Christ Himself has received no mercy at all as our substitute, that He bore the weight of His Father's wrath fully, that there was no mercy for Him, that when He took on the sins of His people as their substitute, that, as the larger catechism puts it, He felt and bore the weight of God's wrath. Notice the weight of it, not the lightness of it. There was no mitigation of that. It was a full tale of justice paid. We, however, do not receive that. We receive chastisements out of God's love. And then notice also that the Lord has removed our sins from all who call upon Him. Now, twice in this passage, we hear "such as fear His name," or "such as fear Him." Now, the word "fear" is the standard word for fear that we have in the Hebrew, yirah, but it has a wide semantic range in Hebrew, just as it does in English. Sometimes fear does not mean our knees knocking together, or trembling, right? Our heart racing, and those other physical manifestations of fear. It's not like the feeling that you get watching a horror movie. But it means honor, respect, godly fear, obedience, and so on. That complex of words. And so to those who have that kind of fear, remember, toward them the Lord is merciful and gracious. And notice that it is not simply by means of a bare profession of faith that the Lord is merciful and gracious to them, but it is upon those who fear Him. That is, who have that inner and outer understanding of His mercy and their own sins and unworthiness. All right, in verses 13 through 16 then, we have that the Lord condescends to our weakness. The Lord condescends to our weaknesses, and the psalmist, or David, writes this: such pity as a father hath. This is the kind of pity the Lord shows to them that fear Him. We are rather poor at condescension, aren't we? We are rather very haughty by nature. It is only as we are conformed to the image of Christ that our humility begins to grow, as the Lord grants this grace and overturns our natural pride and arrogance. He knows this about us and works to heal us from our pride. He knows that we are dust, and in His mercy, He reminds us of our own natural haughtiness. In verse 17, once again, the mercy of God is extolled and magnified. It is from everlasting to everlasting. It is from generation to generation. It is to those who keep His covenant, those who maintain those seals by faith, and those who remember their duty of obedience to such as fear Him. All right, then verse 19, in the final section through 22, David breaks out in praise for the greatness of the Lord, first of all in His reign as king, second of all in the service that He receives from His angels. The Lord is extolled because of His greatness, receiving wonderful service from His holy angels. It's very interesting, isn't it, how he says, bless the Lord, ye His angels that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. I think this is what Jesus means when He says, thy will be done in earth even as it is in heaven. That as those angels in heaven, those elect angels, not the reprobate angels, but as the elect angels in heaven, those mighty and holy beings, those rational servants of God, they are called angels. You know why they're called angels, right? Because they are sent to those who are inheriting salvation as servants unto such as you and I. Most of that service goes unknown to us. It is in spiritual realms. We don't see it. But notice that some of what the angels do is that they praise and extol the voice of the Lord. They hearken to His word. They excel in strength, and they bend that strength in service to God Almighty. And so, as great as the angels are, God is greater because He receives their service. And so David uses that as an occasion to extol not the virtues of angels, because even their virtues, great as they are blotted out by the greatness of God's glory, right? And then notice also, bless the Lord all His works in all places of His dominion, and then, including all places in all of His dominion, bless the Lord my soul. So David, as he often does, ends where he begins. Thus ends the reading then of Psalm 103. Let's stand and call upon the Lord.